CRN.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
It's time for another edition of Ride at Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union, your community, your credit union. As we are joined, as we are every week at this time, by local realtor Bon Vivant, man about town, Matt Cardzolotti. I want to get the post there with Johnny.
No.
The flames went higher, and it burns.
Yeah.
Ring of Fire.
It's a great song.
It is.
I love that song.
But it also kind of timely, as we want to talk a little bit about.
Right.
You know, we had a fire downtown.
We did, yeah.
Business, unfortunately.
Yeah, downtown Grinnell had a fire, yeah.
And how
pretty
does that.
Pretty scary.
Well, yeah, very scary. Fortunately, it didn't spread. The fire didn't spread, but the damage does. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because what is the effect of something like that on real estate and stuff?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's in that catastrophe range, right? That's like one of those things where it's like, how much can this be mitigated? And having a fire is a huge concern, especially for small towns. And in general, I mean, these are one of these things. This is like why fire departments were started. And it wasn't necessarily just because of like houses. It was actually for downtown areas originally, because, you know, they share walls, right? They're adjacent to one another. So as that, you know, fire goes, it's not just, it never affects one building. It affects everything around it. So, that's what we see right now too with like downtown Grinnell. Obviously there's two buildings that are neighboring that building, one on each side, that are also both a lot larger. And as you can see, you know, those businesses have essentially closed inside those buildings just to be able to kind of make the repairs and clean and redo and for water mitigation, for smoke removal, smoke damage, fire damage. I mean, even though you've got a layer of brick wall, right, and then another layer of brick wall between those two, you know, interiors of those buildings, that heat makes its way through it.
I was going to say, like a brick ovens, you know, you get a brick oven pizza, it cooks somehow.
Right.
Yeah, those bricks get hot.
Yeah, and then that also atrophies. That's another thing, too, which is also can be kind of odd to think about. But, like, what happens to that? What happens to that building material after it goes through that kind of heat? It's not quite the same afterwards. And because, you know, it was fired once, right, when they made that brick.
Right.
And then it's laid as a construction material. It sits there. It gets hot and cold over time. But that building is, you know, heated, cooled. It remains a relatively constant, you know, much more constant, with closer to a constant temperature than what nature provides. And then suddenly you put it through, you know, some dramatic temperature change like that, and things start to change, things start to move around. So structural engineers, you know, obviously fire containment systems, smoke mitigation, water mitigation, repair work. I mean, it's extensive. It's a lot to go through something like that. Obviously, our fire department was on it, which was great, and that made a huge difference for, you know, how fast and how well that was contained. You know, departments from all over, you know, all over the county showed up to assist, and then it's also on really. I don't really think of downtown like this, but I mean, it's our central business corridor, right? This is where most of the business of Grinnell, the small businesses, the service businesses, those things, as they happen, right? This is that environment that they're in. And so suddenly they're shut down. I mean, they're closed. I mean, I actually considered closing my office for the day just because of the amount of smoke that we were getting from, you know, several doors down. The station's much closer. I'm sure it was probably ripened here pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was surprised for being an old fire trap like we were. It got a little bit smoky at times when the wind would really kind of push it this way. But
right.
For the most part, we were okay. Of course, I was running up and down the stairs. I probably wasn't helping matters. If I just left the door closed, it'd probably been fine. But I kept running down the stairs, running outside to take a look and see what was going on to be able to do updates on stuff. But
right.
But yeah. Well, but we were okay. You know, they never told us to evacuate.
That's great. And no, I mean, I mean, obviously I think the fire department, I mean, I think they did a great job on this.
Amazing, amazing response time on that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it was something great that a neighbor could see, right? Report, and then bang, it's happening.
Right.
Buildings are getting evacuated. People are getting taken out. Like, no, got to get out of the building.
And... Well, the irony is I walked by there earlier in the morning and, you know, I didn't see or smell anything, but then I got up here and a few, you know, I started smelling. I thought that I forgot to put the coffee pot.
Well, I
mean, water in the coffee pot, and I turned it on.
I mean, the coffee is pretty thick, so I mean, I can see how that went.
Well, yeah. You know, you can. Yeah.
That's right. Stand a spoon up in it.
That's DJ coffee right there, buddy.
Well, and then one of the key things I think that happens with buildings like this, especially in downtown areas within that central business corridors, as I call them, within like some of our prime real estate for commercial values, what happens to those? Well, as long as that building stays in the condition that it's in right now, which is, you know, obviously a complete loss, sure, absolutely, it affects everything around it, right? Why wouldn't it?
Right.
Of course it does.
Mm-hmm.
Even construction. I mean, even as we, you know, redo some of the the storefronts or work on some of the, like redo some of the stonework, these great acts of preservation that, you know, these brave business owners and building owners go through and making sure that their properties are maintained. What happens, right? Like, what happens to the commerce around that? Well, I mean, of course it affects it, right? It slows it down. It stops it. And now we run into that again right downtown with with this restaurant that's no longer a restaurant. I think that until that's rebuilt, I think that could be, you know, certainly a slight detriment. Lucky thing right now is really there's only one property for sale, actively listed for sale within a block of there. And the other two properties that were on the same block, right, had already sold this year, or last year rather, including the next door neighbor. So the new neighbor, right, who owns the building to the north of that, right, he had a lot to deal with right there. That was my client for that transaction too. So, I tapped into some of the resources that we have just to make sure that he had, you know, the response that he needed to be able to make sure that his place had the mitigation it needed as well. So any form of disaster like that, it's not just important to, take care of it instantly, make sure things are safe, preserve as much of the buildings around it. But it's really key, too, to having that plan for recovery for it. And so... I know that the ownership of the building, I mean, these poor folks that have it, I mean, I you can't help but just feel the world for them, you know.
Yeah.
This is an investment. And
sure.
You see an investment property go up in smoke. I mean, people see that happen to their 401ks, right? And we don't have insurance for our 401ks. So, you know, hopefully that this works out well for them. I mean, they're great folks too, and I know that they're, you know, I know they have some ambitions to try to put it back. And so I hope that can happen. I really do.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, you don't think about the long-term trickle-down effect of just right now as they're doing the repairs, they're doing the mitigation on the adjacent buildings. I don't even think they're working on the building itself.
No.
At this point. It's
yeah.
just all boarded up.
Right.
But they're still doing. But you've got scaffolding. You've got,
yeah.
you know, block. We've got barricades out there this morning and this and that and the other. And,
right.
and that affects surrounding
everything.
Businesses, everything around here.
Yeah,
because now
you lose all your parking.
Here, so, and the people who are displaced, the workers who are displaced, you know, that's
right.
money out of the economy
and,
now.
And residents too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's residents that have actually having to move or had to move or get temporary relocations while their, you know, their units in those apartments are cleaned or put back together.
So what happens in a situation like that? So, okay, I have an apartment. My apartment is above a building. It gets smoke damage.
Get renter's insurance, number one.
Yeah.
Always have renter's insurance.
But what, I mean, if they have to move somewhere.
Right.
Temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, you know, where's the responsibility on that? And who's on the hook for that?
You're in the same boat probably as the landlord is for the property. Do you have insurance? And so, right.
Oh, and see, I didn't even think about that.
That's right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around the insurance side of things. So, like, just for insurance, I mean, I spend thousands, I think tens of thousands actually a year on just insurance. I know I spend tens of thousands a year on insurance for, you know, the buildings that I own and then the businesses. And, you know, I was actually put to the test last year as, I was opening an office in Marshalltown.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of weeks before it was completed, a tornado leveled the building. And so, and working with the insurance company, man, I tell you, you know, that'll teach you right there to really, you know, how important is that rate, you know, because, you know, I actually thought I had a decent insurance company, and my, you know, the company that I used for the to get the policy did a fantastic job, but then the company that the policy was with was horrifying, and so I mean, I just, you know, I feel, I mean, I can't help but you know, walk past that building downtown here and think, man, I just, I hope it's not the same ones I had, because they, it was an incredible struggle that lasted, you know, 5-6 months until I actually ended up getting paid to just the cash value on my property. So no, I mean, your insurance is key. Your insurance rep that you buy it from, I mean, I hope you trust them. I hope you know them. I hope you've got, like, great experience with them. If you found it on the internet and you never shook their hand or haven't met them, you know, I don't know how much of a gamble that is, you know?
So that's why I know where my insurance agent lives.
Right. I know where mine lives, too, you know?
I know where and, you're at, buddy.
And I believe in him. And I love him. He's like, yeah. he's an amazing guy. And, but the, you know... And he was a bat. If it weren't for him, I'm not really sure if the actual insurer would have paid out anything really that was even relatively close to what the value of that property was. So, yeah, I mean the good news is on Monday this week we actually did manage to open up that branch in Marshalltown, and so we do have another office now in Marshalltown, but I rented a spot rather than going through the incredible pain of building some old dilapidated property back to life and watching it get crushed by a tornado. So
I remember that morning. I remember you coming in here, and it was just like, wow, you had a brave face on. But it was just stress.
It was, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of money. People don't really think about business. So business is kind of odd. You know, I was actually, going back and forth last night and messaging with a colleague and talking about, like, you know, some of the business ideas that he had. And he's like, well, what's the bigger stress of what you do? And I'm like, well, I mean, a business is an incredible gamble, you know, and it's not just like it's not even a long term. It's a short term gamble. And I mean, anything can happen to affect how that business works. If this fire had been in my office downtown, that could really affect how all this could ever work, right? I mean, that could change the scope of not just that work, but every other work that happens in that building and the surrounding ones. And so, and I'm like, yeah, no, it's a gamble. It's a gamble with whatever cash you've earned, because you don't get to spend it. You have to use it for the business. It's a gamble for the livelihood of all those people that work for you,
right?
Mm-hmm. So they don't just like, you know, show up to a job, punch a clock, you know, some anonymous face, right? This is like, you see them. You love them. I mean, they're part of your family. And you got to worry about them and their families just as much as you worry about your own sometimes. And then you get to the work of your business. And if that is that same kind of emotional commitment, I mean, man, no, it's every once in a while you'll wake up grinding your teeth, but it's important to understand, especially when it comes to, like, some of these catastrophes, having those adequate insurance pieces in place to make sure that you, not just your building or your asset or even or your lender or whatever are protected, but you, all of your employees, their families, the people that rely on your work, they're the ones that deserve that insurance, not just you, not just your building. If that makes any sense.
We're talking with Matt Cardzolotti. You're right at home. Brought to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union. Back right after this.
University of Iowa Community Credit Union is the number one mortgage lender in Iowa. That's because they offer low rates, no 1% origination fee, and 100% financing. For residents living in Grinnell and the surrounding areas, they also have a local mortgage expert right in Grinnell. Aaron Black has 17 years of mortgage experience and is ready to serve you from their office at 705 6th Avenue in downtown Grinnell. Contact Aaron at 236-1801 or online at uiccumortgage.com to get started with your purchase and refinance mortgage loan. UICCU is an equal housing lender.
Back on Right at Home with Matt Cardzolotti.
That's me.
Yes.
I got some numbers.
You do have numbers.
Yeah, they're fat and they're round. Kind of like me.
A lot of zeros and eights, are there?
there's a little bit of work here. Just a little precursor, a little pre-disclosure.
Do you have like a electron microscope to be able to read some of those?
I'm pretty sure that working on these numbers every week is why I have to continue to up my prescription.
You got that go-go gadget eyeglasses there. So
yeah, well, I mean, it's one of the advantages of the bifocal, right? So it turns out, you know, I've been collecting numbers since 2015 on Central Iowa, essentially, right?
Right.
And and occasionally, you know, a larger network or a national network or something like that will actually contact me just because of this like archived data, and I'm like, it's available to the public. Just go online and get it, whatever, right? But when it comes to assembling them, I mean, actually taking them and putting them into a program, I'm just not that great at it. I can do it, but it, like I told you earlier, it's like a lot of copy and paste and kind of make sure it all fits right and then get everything working right for charting and whatnot. But so that being said, it's probably going to be at least another week till I get these presentable for 2019 for the year, but I do have them assembled. So our first week of January has actually started out kind of interesting, right? We had 8 closed transactions, and that's actually great for where we are and end that time of year. And then we had an unusual thing happen at that same time, and we had the same amount of pendings come through in a week. And so that was actually kind of nice to be able to see that funnel of what's coming, right? So we have, and I think it's larger because of the weather, which, I mean, I think we may find out is about to change, right?
Yes.
But the weather has been so incredibly seasonally or unseasonably warm, where it's really actually helped keep real estate at a higher level of stability, I think, for Central Iowa. So we have a lot to be grateful for that, because the market this year, I think, otherwise was volatile in retrospect. So we actually had 21 listings come on the market that week as well, and an average days on market of 91 days, which means there's also some newer inventory out of that, and it's not just straight relists or whatever. But then we get to this week, and we see that number jump from 91 to 178, and 178 is the average days on market, and that is the relist. And so each office, each agent, you know, everybody, buyers, sellers, they all have their own timelines for how they want to do things. But people usually adhere to round numbers. They usually go to the first of the month or the last of the month, or, you know, or they'll go to the end of November or the end of the year. It seems to be like a more common practice now for listing contracts, largely because our winters have been so warm. And so I wasn't surprised to see that jump after, you know, a week or so after the expiration. We had 3 closed transactions though in the last week. And so that's not real great. I know I've got one in about an hour, but I don't really think that, I think my office, most of their stuff is next week or the following. So I don't think that there's a bunch in the pipe right there. And the sold days on market for those 3 that closed was 187 days. That's actually kind of nice to see, that 187 days. Now I'm going to go over to our total amount listed, which is currently 105. Now, at 105, and that's all of Powashik County, Eastern Jasper County, some of the outer bits of Mahaska a little bit there, largely within the community ring of what we all kind of occupy, within that economic force of this region, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the average days on market, which is interesting, is at 193 days across the board. So seeing what those sales were kind of coming through at 173 or 178 from this last week, I mean, it's a pretty clear defining piece, too, that's showing that the newer inventory is continuing to sell, even after this larger amount of time. And even as the relists come back on from expired listings that people are putting back on or changing horses or whatever they're doing, those newer listings are still the ones getting the most attention. So, quite frankly, our inventory is really, really low. I would probably normally recommend, you know, if our inventory wasn't low, to if your house is still on the market and been on the market and it's sucked this whole time for you, take it off for a couple of months. However, since our inventory is so low, what we're seeing is even those properties are getting more attention than they normally do. So if you've been waiting, if you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for, you know, spring to list to try to get a higher percentage of list price for your sale price, then, you know, I'm not really sure if it's going to make that much of a difference. If people aren't finding the variety that they have, you know, that they need, I mean, they just tend to act on what they have. So I really would seriously recommend consider listing early. Consider listing now if you really need to. I mean, we have 108 listings on total. And the same time of year last year, we were at 119. In 2017, we were at 138. 2016, we were at, sorry, I got two pages stuck together, 181. And all the way back to 2015, we're at 250. And so, I mean, there's hardly anything out there. So by all means, I mean, if you're thinking about it, this may be a really good time to talk to your agent. Give them a call, you know, interview them, ask them about what they think, get some feedback on your property, make them show you the stats, consider getting it listed.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I got.
All right, and we'll have those numbers eventually posted at some point in time.
It'll happen. It's just I have them. I have them assembled, but they're just not that pretty right now.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike you.
Well, what can I say? You know, I mean, I'm a good-looking cat.
You are. That's why you do radio, like me.
Right.
There you go. Uh-huh. And that'll do it for this edition of Right at Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union. For Matt Cardzolotti, I'm Tim Dill for 1410 KGRN.
I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
January 11th. The government shutdown continues. No U.S.